Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
We do have plenty of open lines available right now at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. We're taking a deep dive into the gospel this month,
yes.
Really looking at what the gospel is, this announcement of good news, and how it benefits us. I know when we hear good news, we always ask that question. How is this going to affect us? Any type of news,
yes.
as that matters, we look at weather reports every single day.
Uh-huh.
We wonder, how is this going to affect us? Well, this good news of Jesus Christ affects us in a marvelous way, in a powerful way. And so here is the good news. Paul talks about it, 1 Corinthians 15. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you. So when Paul came into the city of Corinth, he preached the gospel.
Yes.
He preached to them this good news. And he said, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. So they received the good news, uh-huh. and now they've taken their stand on that gospel message, on that good news. Now, by this gospel, you were saved. That's a pretty amazing statement.
Yes.
So it's not only just an announcement that Jesus Christ came, it's through that announcement that something happens to us. We are saved. Incredible. It's yes. just incredible. There's no other way to be saved other than through this announcement of good news. So you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Mm-hmm. So as we've talked about time and time again, this gospel message is by grace through faith. So it's God doing something for us that we cannot do for ourselves, and it's made real in our experience through faith. So it's by grace through faith. That's what Paul is saying here. If you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. So at that time, there were other, quote, super apostles coming into Corinth, and they were delivering another message. So many of the people who heard the message of Jesus started letting go of that and grabbing hold of these other things.
Yes.
And so Paul was saying, no. That message
there.
Doesn't save.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it may sound good. It may be presented in an incredible way, and those who are presenting it may be just powerful in their presentation. They may be highly charismatic as far as personality is concerned. They may have all kinds of stories that tug at the heart. But if it's not the story of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, no matter how good it sounds, it will not save. But yet people were walking away from Jesus because this sounded so good over here. So they had never come to really believe in this gospel message. And then he says this, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. I think that's a powerful word. That's why we call this ministry Basic Gospel. Mm-hmm. Basic, not in the sense of elementary or first grade stuff, but basic in the sense that it is of first importance.
Yes.
Those are the basic things when you look at the basics of business. It's those things that are of first importance. If you don't have those in place,
yeah.
your business isn't going to survive.
You can't talk about any other aspect of life or business or anything without that foundation.
Right. You look at sports, every single sports, there's basics, mm-hmm. Fundamentals to each of those sports. Without those, you don't have the game. They're that important. You take away dribbling and shooting and basketball, you don't have basketball.
True.
You take away blocking and tackling and football, you don't have football. So these are things that are of first importance. And here's what they are as far as the gospel is concerned, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And then after that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. So what's the story? It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those three things are of first importance.
Yes.
Now, it's interesting to take note that this gospel story starts with death. Mm-hmm. Death is the lead chapter, that Jesus died according to scriptures. Where does any piece of good news that you have ever heard ever started with death? And yet, the greatest piece of good news that's ever been delivered on this planet, that has ever captured somebody's heart and mind and attention, starts with the death of the hero, the death of Jesus Christ. Why is that important? Because this new life that Jesus has for us has to begin with us realizing that we're dead spiritually, that we have a need. And once we come to grips with the fact that we're dead spiritually, then we're at a place where we can receive this new life in Jesus. That's what this is all about. That's what this gospel message is all about. It's about life that you can have in Christ, a life that genuinely saves, that completely saves, and that is qualitatively different than anything you've ever known or experienced before.
Yeah.
That's the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well,
this is Basic Gospel. Richard Pfeiffer is here. My name is Bob Christopher. We welcome you. 1-844-322-2742. If you have a question about the gospel, what exactly the gospel is, we would love to hear from you on this particular edition of Basic Gospel. Well, right now we're going to go to Michigan and talk with Barbara. Hi, Barbara.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, doing well. We had some questions that come up at our work Bible study, and one of them was about birth control. Is taking birth control wrong? Because we were talking about, you know, people having a lot of kids, and I mean, I felt that, well, God created life, so, you know, that's not our ball game. But is taking a birth control pill is wrong?
Well, Barbara, I think that gets to the conscience of each and every person. If somebody feels that it's wrong, say they've been brought up in a particular religious upbringing and they've been taught from a very young age that birth control is wrong, then I think in their minds they're going to think that it is wrong. And so it's going to be difficult for them to say, hey, I want to use birth control. For others, they're not going to have that issue. But there's nothing in the Word of God that really prohibits birth control. But I think that's something that you need to be fully persuaded in your own mind as to what route you would want to take as far as birth control is concerned. Does that make sense to you?
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, this is a question. This is a question between a husband and a wife. This isn't a question for a single person.
This is a family issue.
Yeah. And
yes.
If done in the spirit, then you can become fully persuaded.
Yes. And then the second question was about, you know, people like the ISIS people have been taught that all their life. How are they held accountable if they were taught that, I mean, maybe I'm not asking the question right, but how are you held accountable if you're not taught about Jesus, but you're taught about this way?
Well, that's a great question,
yes.
Barbara. As far as the Muslim question is concerned, those who are brought up in that particular belief system, they know about Jesus. Jesus is in the Quran, I think, and they know about Jesus, but they recognize him as a prophet that got some things wrong, and Muhammad had to come on the scene, and he is the real prophet of God. But they know about Jesus, and in their, adoption of the Muslim belief system, they're making a rejection of Christ as the Messiah, as the Son of the living God, as the Savior of the world. They're rejecting him. And then they're making you know, there's statements in the Quran that talks about the infidels, and those would be Christians who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and Jewish people who believe in the one true God, and that you know, God's promises are going through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and that, and through that bloodline. So they have things in their belief system that would set them up to reject Christ right at the get-go. But that doesn't mean Christ isn't big enough to penetrate through that, yeah, and touch a heart and bring that person to a saving relationship with him. And we see that happening daily in the Middle East even.
Yes.
I mean, there are incredible things going over in the Middle East as people start to recognize that Jesus really is that one true God, and that he became one of us, and that in him we can have life, that we can truly and genuinely be saved. So Barbara, as far as anyone that has been brought up and they haven't heard the gospel necessarily, as the Bible said, no one is without excuse. God's attributes have been made visible through creation, through just the natural order of things. We can just look and see that God exists. And folks will not be able to stand before him and say, if we had only known. Well, they had enough knowledge given to them that they're really without excuse.
Now, is that a scripture that says that?
Well, Romans chapter 1 speaks to that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Romans 1:20.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys so much.
Well, you're welcome, Barbara. Hey, thanks for your call today. We appreciate hearing from you. God bless.
Yeah, we got an email question from our friend Kelly in Florida, listens on the internet. It's a good question. Luke 1:15 talks about John the Baptist and that he was filled with the Holy Spirit since before he was born. Well, did the Spirit remain in John, or was it temporary, like the infilling that occurs throughout the Old Testament? If the Spirit remained, how was that possible prior to the cross and resurrection? After all, John was not without sin, was he?
Well, that is an excellent question.
It is.
And it really gets down to word choices. Mm-hmm. We see the word filled, that he was filled by the Holy Spirit, which means to be controlled. So he was filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Mm-hmm. So God had set him apart from birth for a particular purpose.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit came alongside of him and empowered him to carry out,
yes,
that purpose. So in essence, he was under the control of God's Spirit. He did what he did because God's Spirit was moving him to do so. So that's being filled with the Spirit. That's different than being indwelt by the Spirit.
Yes.
So believers are indwelt by the Spirit. And that occurred in history on the day of Pentecost, when the gift of God's Spirit was poured out on man. And I love the way Luke writes that story, because he talks about the ascension of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So when we talk about the gospel, oftentimes we just talk about the death, the burial, and resurrection. The ascension is a part of that story as well. The,
yes,
death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus Christ. Once Jesus ascended, and he ascended on the 40th day after his resurrection. So during that 40-day time frame, he appeared to Peter and James and John and all the apostles and 500 other men at a single time. He appeared to women, some of the women followers. As a matter of fact, the women were the first that he, mm-hmm, appeared to, Mary Magdalene and several of the others that are mentioned in the gospel accounts. But that was over that 40-day period. Before he ascended, he told the apostles to wait in Jerusalem, and they would receive power from on high, and they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the utter ends of the earth. Well, 10 days after he ascended, once he was in heaven, he was given, Jesus Christ himself was given the Holy Spirit, and then on the day of Pentecost, he gave the Holy Spirit to mankind.
Yes.
And so the Holy Spirit came to live inside of people. So one of the great themes in the Bible is this story about the temple. So it was first a tabernacle. Moses built this tabernacle. When they dedicated the tabernacle, God's presence filled it.
Yes.
And that was made known by fire and smoke and all of those sort of things. And then Solomon built a temple. Mm-hmm. And in the same way, when it was dedicated, God's presence filled that. But God doesn't really live in temples made by hands. He has something else in mind. And his temple is really the body of Christ. We have become the dwelling place of God, individually within our hearts and corporately as a body of believers. And so on that day of Pentecost, a new temple was really dedicated.
Yeah.
as Christ, through the Spirit, came to live inside of us. So the Spirit indwells us, and as children of God, we can trust him to fill us, to control us. And when we're controlled by the Holy Spirit, we're really being controlled, motivated, compelled by the love of God itself. So God's Spirit teaches our minds the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God, so that it passes beyond just an intellectual understanding, but a heartfelt experience of it. And as we grow in that experience of the love of God, then we pass that on to others. And that's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And
yes,
that happens because we're indwelt by the Spirit. Well, this is Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. We have a wonderful new resource available to our listeners this month. It's a single CD called Something New. It talks about everything that's happened to us once we've come to know Christ Jesus. And this is something that we don't spend enough time in understanding. We come to the point, we're so grateful that we're saved, and we most of the time immediately ask the question, so God, what am I supposed to do for you? Mm-hmm. Well, I think what God wants us to do at that point is just to find out more of what he's done for us. So this is something that we don't spend enough time on, and we've created a single CD called Something New that can really, give you a deep dive into what this gospel message is all about. We want to put that into your hands. We want you to listen to it. Then we want you to pass it on to others. And it's available to you for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this particular month. And with your gift, not only do you get the resource, but you also help perpetuate this broadcast,
yes,
get the good news into the lives of many people. So take advantage of this offer. It's a single CD called Something New, available for you as for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. All the information is on our website at basicgospel.net, or you can call and talk with Billy, the lovely Billy, right here.
Yes.
844-412-2742. That's 844-412-2742. Well, let's go to New Jersey and talk to Damien. Hi, Damien.
Hi, how are you?
Doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm pretty good, thank you.
How can we help you? What's on your mind today?
Okay. I come from a Roman Catholic background, and I'm sure you're familiar with this question, but I'm just asking about the Eucharist, as in John 6, verse 53, talking about the body and blood of Christ. My wife and I attend in a non-denominational church now, and obviously there's theological differences there. So I'm really wrestling with what it really means, communion. Is it the literal body and blood of Christ? Is it a symbolic gesture or meaning? Is it a spiritual one or both? If you could help me with that, I'd appreciate it.
Well, the passage is interesting. These were some of the hard words of Jesus. It was one of those messages that he gave, and many people who listened didn't know that what he was really saying, and so they kind of left. And his disciples, you know, Jesus said, "Well, what about you? Does this offend you? Are you going to leave too?" And you know, Peter made the confession, you know, where would we go? You alone have the words of eternal life.
Yes.
So it's a very hard teaching of Jesus. And you growing up in the Roman Catholic way, so to speak,
yes,
their thought is when you partake in the Eucharist, when you eat the bread and when you drink the blood, that those actually become the body and blood of Christ, right?
Yes.
So you are taking in Christ through that very act. That's what they would say. But I think in the context of this passage, when he says that he's the bread of life, he
yes.
says, "He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." So
Right. The
eating of the flesh, the drinking of the blood, I think that's symbolic of the faith that we put into Christ, that we place in Christ, the believing in Christ, the coming unto Christ. I think those things are symbolic of that act of faith that we
yeah.
do in response to his grace.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me, and I really appreciate your answering that and giving me those examples. Thank you very much.
Well, you are so welcome, Damien. Thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate that. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of a book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. I think it will help answer a lot of questions for you, and we would love to put that into your hands. You hang on, okay?
Oh, thank you very much.
You are so welcome. Well, we have just a few minutes
yeah.
of time. Do we have another email question?
In the context of Damien's question about Roman Catholicism, right now, you know, just recently in our country, the Pope came to visit and made presentations before Congress and all that. And there have been a lot of really judgmental statements made about him and about Catholics in general. And does that serve a purpose in Christianity?
Well, I you know, it makes for interesting conversation.
Yes.
And it seems to, you know, draw lines, and you're either on one side or the other. And I think we all need to come back to Jesus and to the gospel mm-hmm. message. You know, as we've said a number of times in, on this broadcast, there's not going to be any Catholics in heaven. There's not going to be any Protestants in heaven. There's only going to be people who have come to know Jesus personally,
yes.
who have been born again of the Spirit of God. You must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. And so there's only one way to be born again, and that's through faith in Jesus. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting
yes.
life. That is the message. And so we need to focus on that. A lot of times people respond to messages that are based on works. Well, I think it's appropriate for us to respond to those and
yes.
say, that's a works-based message. Works aren't going to get you to heaven. It is a by grace through faith plan that God has in place in Jesus. So only as Jesus reaches out to us in grace and we respond through faith, does salvation happen. That's the way it is. And so if there's a message that goes against that,
yes.
I think we need to stand up and say,
yeah,
hey,
say so.
This isn't the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible is very simple, very plain, very clear. The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We'll look forward to being with you again for another edition tomorrow. So for Richard, Greg, and the rest of the team, so long until then.